You're listening to DottoTech, helping you get the most out of your technology wherever you use it, at home, at school, or at work. Brought to you by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. 20 years, the trusted voice of technology in Canada, Steve Dotto.
Hello and welcome to DottoTech. I am Steve Dotto and I am glad you're joining us today. Art Factor, how are you, sir?
I'm well. We broke a record for weather and sunshine in BC.
Did we?
We broke it yesterday. Most sunshine hours in Vancouver or BC all time.
In a month.
In the month of July.
Well, that was great.
You didn't see all the tweets and the posts on Facebook?
No, you know what? I haven't been outside all that much. But I'm ready. I'm getting ready to. I'm pretty much in the parking lot. This show here for me today, I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to pull off a very good job today.
And that's because?
I'm hot, heading off on holiday. I'm there. I'm in holiday mode already.
But not for another 59 minutes.
Yes. So I suppose that is the case. But, you know, and I'll buckle down, and I'm sure I'll do a fine job. But my heart's not in it today.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm just ready for holiday.
See all the unhappy guests who
We got good guests. We're going to be talking about Belk. We're going to be talking about the connected home today, which is pretty cool stuff. And we got Mike Vardy joining us. I'm looking forward to chatting with these folks.
Are you gonna slowly jump in? Are all the topics just gonna end up going to fishing?
I don't think I'll talk any fishing. The fishing isn't great in August. You know, we're almost in August.
The fish go on vacation too?
Well, no. What happens in the lakes? The lake where I have our property is the lake warms up at the top layer, and the fish get lethargic, just like we get lethargic in the warmth. They look for cooler water and better oxygen, so they go deeper. And they aren't as active, so they just don't like it in the warm water. So it's called the summer doldrums in the fishing community.
So that means less fishing, more beer drinking.
There could be, but there is, I'll be at Sheridan Lake, and there is something called the Traveler Sedge Hatch, which happens around this time of year, which does give you a window of about 2 hours, an hour and a half at dusk, just as the sun's going down. Big, big traveler sedges. They look like the giant, like daddy long legs, big moths type things. They come off and they skid around. You'll recognize them because they're the ones that kind of skitter around on the surface of the water and leave little swirls around. The trout love them. They go crazy. And so the big trout come up on the shoals and they scarf them down. So just at dusk, I go and I'll anchor up on a shoal and I'll fish for about an hour and a half each day. It doesn't seem to interrupt the family because I've already cooked dinner and they're all settling in, kind of getting the bonfire ready and that sort of stuff. So it should be good. I am looking forward to that part.
You really are in vacation mode because that was a very long explanation.
It had nothing to do with technology, did it?
None at all.
Absolutely nothing. Well, the other thing I'm doing is we're leaving on Friday. So Thursday, I figured out a great tip for everybody. When you go on holiday and you're setting up your email for vacation responder mode, do it a day early to make sure everything is working properly.
Yes.
Isn't that a good idea?
Well, last year you were telling me that you were getting a bunch of emails because something had gone awry.
Yeah, we had a little problem and it was sending like hundreds of emails and I had to straighten it out. So I don't want that to happen again. So I'm going to check it all the day before, which is a good idea, I think.
You're a genius.
I am a geek. Joining me online now from Toronto is Greg Milkovich. He is with Belkin. And Greg, thanks so much for spending time with me today.
Great to be here, Steve. How are you doing?
I'm doing just fine. So you guys have been very busy. Now, Belkin's always had a really cool line of different peripherals in the computer space, but you guys have you've really expanded your line and focused on an area that not too many other people are playing in with these WeMo products now.
Yeah, very much so. You know, we launched WeMo over a year ago, and it's a really, really exciting new category for Belkin. It's certainly at the forefront of home automation, but home automation in an easy, smart, and connected way that provides do-it-yourself capability. Basically, purchase it at your local retailer and plug it in and start connecting your home in really interesting ways.
Now, when we're talking about the connected home, we're talking about you connecting with your home when you're there or when you're not there, primarily through your smartphone, but I guess through the computer as well. But really, it's all about having some control over some of the functionality at the home through your smartphone, right?
Absolutely. So the premise is that the WeMo product plugs into any AC outlet within your house, and then you plug in whatever device you or appliance you want to control. So it might be a light, it may be a curling iron, it may be a a fan or a space heater. And then through our cloud application, you simply sync the device, and it's all utilizes wireless in your home. It's not anything that you wouldn't have. And utilizing your smartphone, you can start controlling whatever that device or appliance is that you're plugged into your Wemo product. So you can turn it on and off. You can have different settings and have it come on at different times. And what you can do is start building upon it, so you can have when something happens with one of the appliances or devices plugged into your Wemo, you can have something else happen. And you can start really having different pieces of your home start talking to each other. It's really, really quite exciting.
Now, have you set it up at home yet yourself?
I have.
So where, how have you used it yourself?
Well, I have, for example, my office light plugged into my Wemo. It's certainly a terrific energy conservation type solution, so you can have it come on and off and make sure that you don't leave lights on. If you go away on business and you don't remember if you've turned off a light, you can simply, from anywhere in the world, turn off that device. Another interesting thing I do, we have a motion sensor plugged into Wemo, so I utilize that. So when you come into the house, you have certain lights come on, so it senses the motion. And we also use it as a home security piece as well. So if you sense motion, you can get an email sent to you. And that fits in nicely as well to our NetCam products.
And that's one of the really exciting products is the fact that you guys are extending into that security space, and there are so many. I mean, we're going to talk about some of the other spaces that people are playing in right now. But the cameras that you've got do add a pretty significant degree of security to the home environment. So you want to talk about those two products?
Yeah, sure. The Belkin NetCam products, similar in terms of the feature set. Certainly, we have a standard and an HD variety. They come with night vision, which is quite advanced technology with infrared capabilities. But what is really differentiating with the Belkin solution is that we can tie it into Wemo. So what can happen is, when you sense motion, for example, it turns on your Belkin NetCam camera, takes a video clip and sends it to you, so you can actually see what is causing the motion, for example. And a lot of other interesting things in terms of alerts and recordings that make it, just a much more extensive experience that I think is very, very unique in the marketplace.
So do you think that people are using this for things like their cottage security and stuff like that, so that they can have, when they're not there on for a week at a time type thing? It gives them some idea when people are driving into their driveway and that kind of stuff?
Yeah, certainly from a standard security perspective, be it, your mother's house or your cottage, or even, a big one is how are your pets doing?
Yeah.
When you're away at the office. In fact, we had someone blog to us that they set up a closet security system because their roommates kept stealing their clothes. So they set up a motion sensor in their closet, and when someone opened up their closet door, turned on their NetCam and sent them a video of who was borrowing their clothes when they weren't there.
Yeah, well, and there's that whole nanny cam concept as well, when you can check what the sitter's doing with the kids and that sort of stuff as well.
Absolutely.
And there are some other devices that are beyond the NetCam and the wall plug. You also have a baby monitor device.
We do have a baby monitor device. Again, the idea here is instead of buying, a separate piece of equipment that you have to carry a monitor around, wouldn't it be great to utilize your baby monitor with your phone? So yeah, you don't have an issue in terms of any distance limitations. You can listen when you're at a restaurant or halfway around the world. It's a really, really interesting solution that takes away a piece of hardware that you don't need. Everyone carries a smartphone at all times, and it offers a great solution in terms of extended distance and capabilities from that perspective.
Now, all of these products are in the neighborhood of $100 or so. They're all right around that $100 mark, are they not?
Well, it depends. The Wemo product itself is only $49.99.
That's for the plug-in?
Yes, for the plug-in. And the NetCam is $99 for the standard version, $149 for the HD version. The baby monitor would be around $99.
Okay.
And we're coming out as well with a light switch. So not only can you control your lights anywhere in the house, but now wouldn't it be great to control the lights in your ceiling? And we're coming out with a light switch in the early fall.
Okay. And there are so many other pieces now of a connected home. So anybody that's interested in this stuff now has you folks to look at. They've also got the Philips Hue lights to start looking at, which are these tunable lights where you can tune the amount of color that you're getting, the type of color you're getting from your lights. And I imagine that would be at times a complimentary product to yours. But they're also setting up their homes for entertainment with their music and their video and all of that sort of stuff streaming through. Is there going to be a challenge that we're going to have to start to integrate and mesh all of these systems together, and we're going to start finding competing standards or something?
You know, it's interesting in terms of there's certainly some, you know, some standard technologies out there, Zigbee and others. We have chosen a route that utilizes a standard that everyone already has, which is, you know, standard Wi-Fi.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't, you know, we certainly if people are using something that's non-standard, is proprietary, that then there might be some issues, but certainly our platform is very open, and the idea is to make it very, very simple for the consumer.
And at some point, you probably could be coming out with products that complement the music side and all of that sort of stuff as well, I would imagine. I know you can't announce it in advance.
Absolutely. In fact, we already have a working relationship with some consumer electronics manufacturers and have some products coming out from Jarden, which integrate Wemo into their appliances. So things like Coffee Pot and...
Oh, really?
Mr. Coffee, Crock-Pot, Sunbeam, Oster. And you're going to start seeing products with Wemo inside, so you can start controlling all these appliances with your phone.
Oh, and that's great.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And for the last year, it's only been an iOS solution, Steve. And as of within the next 30 days, we'll also be utilized in Android. So you can, you know, be it an Android phone or an iOS product, be it iPad or iPhone, you'll be able to control any appliance within your house with your phone.
Now, as far as your Wi-Fi connection is concerned, you also have Wi-Fi routers. Is it best if you're living, you have an advantage if you're living on one of the Belkin routers?
it's not proprietary to Belkin. It'll work on any wireless platform, as long as it's, you know, 8.0.11 technology, it's going to be fine. You know, okay. Down the road, there may be some interesting things we'll be able to do with the Belkin brand, but at this point, it's absolutely open architecture.
Well, we're going to be talking to Linksys in a few minutes, but you guys should be happy with them, since you guys acquired them a little while back. So,
yeah, certainly a very exciting time for Belkin, and it fits nicely into our connected home strategy. That's absolutely true.
So here's a complete non sequitur. You're talking about the appliances. Is the holy grail of appliances the fridge for the connected home?
You know, it's interesting. The last few years, we purchased a few energy management companies, and certainly the control of the thermostat has been an interesting one.
The company Nest has done really well in that space.
Quite well, and you know, we still think there's some opportunity in that space.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to see some interesting things from Belkin in terms of a number of areas, but energy management is something that you'll be seeing from Belkin. We have what we call Wemo Insight coming out, which will allow anything that's plugged into your Wemo AC outlet also to start measuring your energy consumption and telling you how much that appliance is drawing in terms of power and how much it's costing you to run the product. So some really interesting things going on that, and certainly you'll see some very exciting products from Belkin, not only in terms of lighting and security and certainly standard control of your home, be it, you know, doors, etc., but also around the thermostat.
Okay, the thermostat. Yeah, I always thought that the fridge, just telling me if my milk has expired would be a good thing. you mentioned the other one that I'm really interested in is the door locks and stuff like that. I've seen a few of there's some startups that are doing these wireless or these Wi-Fi enabled lock sets and stuff, which create some other very interesting opportunities for allowing the furnace service guy to come in when you're at work and, you know, combining that with your webcams and that sort of stuff. So there'll be some, I'm sure that we're going to have lots of stories to talk about down the road.
Absolutely.
Not that you're announcing any products yet, but I
you know, there's some stuff on the roadmap, Steve, but today we can't talk about them.
You could tell me, but then you'd have to kill me. Greg Milkovich is with Belkin. Thanks so much for your time.
Do you have a comment or a question for Dottotech? Dottotech is brought to you in part by LondonDrugs.com and click on Contact Us. Dottotech is brought to you by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. Now, back to Steve.
Joining me online now is Matthew Whelan, and he is with Linksys. Linksys, well known for providing routers and Wi-Fi routers for many, many years. Thanks for joining me, Matthew.
Thanks for having us, Steve.
So you guys are coming out with a whole new look, a whole new line of routers. You're trying to put the sexy back in the Wi-Fi device.
Trying, or we did, I guess is the question, and you're absolutely right. And we've come a long way with wireless technology today, and I know you and Greg talked a lot about products that rely on a good wireless connection in the home, and the good thing about these two brands coming together is on the Linksys side, we've got a great selection of routers from your $49 router to someone that might just want to be checking their email, maybe surfing the internet, the odd YouTube video, and not strain too far from where that wireless connection would be in their home or their apartment or condo, to a real high-end router at $199, where you're going to be able to have multiple devices connected, streaming multiple HD streams at the same time. So there's really a full gamut from that entry-level piece up to something a lot more robust and powerful, which Linksys has always been about. We're very forthcoming and leading the technology in terms of what's available to the consumer.
When you look at routers coming down the pipe, since you live that world, are you looking at the first thing, are you looking at range and reliability is the first thing that you think about? Or when you're evaluating the technology, are you thinking about security and all of that kind of back end stuff?
Yeah, absolutely. I would say it's twofold. So the first thing that people always ask me is, Matt, how far can I go with this? Mm-hmm. And how fast is it going to be? Let's face it, we live in a world of bars. When I get into an area where my cell phone gets less than 2 bars, I start sweating. Am I going to drop the call? Am I going to be able to stay connected? And I think a lot of us feel that way. And I'm sure the listeners say the same thing. It's the same with my laptop. As soon as I move away. So when we look at this, we want to say the further you extend your range, the further you get away from that router as the central component of the wireless in your home, I want to make sure that I've still got a 3 to 4 to 5 bar connection. And that is at the crux of what we do from all the technology built into our routers. And of course, as you pay a little bit more, you're going to be able to go a little bit further with a better connection back. But at the same time, to your second point, it's absolutely fundamental to what we do with our routers that we make sure that they're safe and secure. So whether it's WPA2 personal, whether it's WPA2 enterprise, whether it's a VPN pass-through, any type of those security functionalities that you're going to want to have built into the router, we make sure that those are included on every one of our high-end products. And if you're buying a $49 router, you're also getting that type of security as well.
So if I'm just concerned with getting the best connection I can in over the entire range of my house, what's the Cadillac solution today?
What's the Cadillac solution today? That Cadillac would be what we call the EA6500. It's our HD Video Pro. And what really that's given to you is a couple different things. As the wireless standards have evolved, and your listeners might hear 802.11b, 802.11g, and n, they recognize those acronyms in the wireless world. Where we are today is we're actually at 802.11ac. So we've now moved into a whole new wireless speed capability that's never been seen before. And this EA6500 has that. The nice thing about this router too is, and what you'll find out of most routers in the mid to high end range is they're all dual band capable. And what I mean by dual band is you have essentially two different networks working at the same time. One working on 2.4 gigahertz and one working on 5 gigahertz. And with this router on the 5 gigahertz frequency, it uses 802.11ac technology, and we're talking transfer speeds up to 1,300 megabits per second. So even faster than what you would be able to get out of running that long blue internet cable from one side of your house to the other.
So much faster than your connection to the internet, and certainly enough. But when you have multiple people connecting, it makes a big difference to have that extra bandwidth.
Absolutely. And that'll always be the limitation up until this point, right? The pipe in from your service provider, you may pay for 10 megabits per second, you may pay for 20, you may have the super service, which is up to 50. But once you get in the door, then what you're doing on your network internally, that's where you see the greater advantages. So the minute you want to step out in your backyard and stream a video over YouTube, or you want to stream a movie that you've got saved on your hard drive somewhere in the house, that's where you're going to be able to take advantages of these new speeds.
Now, and that is not, I mean, even at that price, if that's your Cadillac, it's still at the $200 mark. So it's not an incredibly expensive piece of hardware.
No, it's not. And so you got to layer on top of that. We're going to give you gigabit ports. So if you're thinking about using it in a wired environment, I get a lot of gamers that come to me and say, hey, Matt, I just don't know that I can go 100% wireless yet? Do all your high-end routers have gigabit ports? Yes, they do. So you'll still be able to plug in. It'll also give you a USB, two USB ports on the back. I get a lot of folks that come and say to me, hey, Matt, I want to be able to plug in a hard drive or a USB printer and share that with everyone else that's on my network. I don't want everyone having their own separate hard drives where I can't see what's going on there and I can't be able to access it when I want to. So by having this shared USB hard drive, the whole family or everyone that's living in the same dwelling and on that network, they can all get access to what's there. So
do you incorporate file backup software for those hard drives?
We do not. So that would be it for whatever drive you buy. If it happens to come with it, then that is included.
And if you're on the, I heard you mention that you had a MacBook Air. If you've got that, you could use your routers as a time machine backup with the hard drive. Then,
absolutely
perfect.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's good stuff. So, and now even if now with this particular router, you still sometimes have to extend the range.
You do. I'm not the guy that lives in a 45,000 or 4,500 square foot home. I know there's probably a lot of listeners out there that wish the same or might say the same, but
you know, it's not the 45,000 square foot home. It's just that weird little dead spot that you get.
That's exactly where I was going, Steve. There's always that little nuance. For me, it happens to be I've got a line that comes into my home. It's on the west end of my house. I live on a one floor bungalow that's 1,300 square feet. But in my basement on the east side of the house, where I've got my Xbox and my smart TV, I'm challenged in that I can't get the wireless to go all the way to the point where I need it to be able to smooth streamly. So what have I done? I've got a range extender solution that I've put halfway between where that signal starts to degrade and drop off and where my setup is downstairs in the basement. So we make a full line of peripherals as well on the Linksys side that help you alleviate some of the issues that I'm sure a lot of your listeners are certainly have dealt with.
So for the Wi-Fi router, I mean, that 6500 looks awesome. But some people are going away from using Wi-Fi in their homes. You guys have really continued to develop and push ahead the concept of power line internet.
Yeah, so absolutely. And for me, I'm twofold. So I mentioned that I use a range extender, and partially that's to get me downstairs, but I've also got an area downstairs, again, where my Xbox is, that I've got a PS3 plugged in, where the PS3 wireless capabilities are a little bit lesser than what the Xbox has built into it, and I just knew that putting a range extender wasn't going to be that great for me, and that I actually wanted a physical connection into that console to make sure that I was going to be able to get the most out of it when I was online. So where I got to with that particular device is I used a one port power line kit. And for those that are listening and aren't familiar with it, power line is as easy as it sounds. You take one out of the box, you plug it into the wall, and then you connect an Ethernet cable and plug that into your router. So that's somewhere in your home, probably in your home office, wherever you have your router and your connection from your service provider plugged in. Now, what you do with the second one is take it out of the box. You go anywhere in your home that is on the same electrical circuit as the rest of the house. You plug that into the wall. And now what's happened is the internet connection has gone from your router into our little power line adapter, gone through the electrical system in your home, and now come out somewhere else. So for me, that's down to the basement. Out comes the internet connection. I take another little blue 3-foot internet cable, plug it into my PS3, and now my PS3 has a hardwired connection.
That seems to me to be almost an essential for every smart TV in the planet.
I hear that a lot, Steve. That's absolutely correct. And what we find, too, is someone's got a 100-year-old home. I don't want to drill through brick. I don't want to drill through plaster. I'm reluctant to run a 100-foot cable across the living room floor because my kids are going to trip or my cat's going to chew on it. Powerline is the solution that you can go and look at. Absolutely.
So how much are we looking at to set up a TV?
Set up a TV with Powerline?
Yeah. So you need two adapters.
Yeah. And our kits will sell you that for $79.99.
So that's got both the adapters. That's got
Correct.
The two spots.
Correct. Yes.
Wow. And it's got a single cable coming out of it.
Correct. And so what we've done with that as well is we've said, maybe there's someone like myself at home who has a PS3, an Xbox, a smart TV. Maybe I've got a Blu-ray player. Maybe I've got a sling box. I've got another type of device where I don't want just one Ethernet cable out the wall from Powerline. I want four. So at Linksys, we actually make another version of the kit where you get a single, which is what we know is going to be the first one you plug into the wall by your router. And then wherever else in the home where you need now four internet connections that are reliable in a wired sense, You're now going to be able to plug that in, and out of the wall comes four wired connections for you to plug in.
Okay, since we always have second screen in that room, can you take one of those ports and plug it into one of your range extenders?
So what if I tell you, now take a single version, plug it into that home office, and we're going to give you another variety of the kit that is going to have a wireless access point built into the power line adapter.
Yes.
So you're going to plug it in downstairs. We're going to give you one port out of the wall, so you choose where you want that to go. But now on top of that one port that you're going to be able to plug into, we're also going to create a new wireless zone. So instead of a range extender solution, you could use this wireless power line kit to solve both those issues in one shot.
Oh, you just got to send me a container full of stuff.
Yeah, I absolutely will. I get that a lot. And Powerline's it's been around for a lot of years. It's gone through three iterations of the technology, but it's just not something that people are overly familiar or comfortable with. And what I can tell you is it's plug and play, and it is simple.
And people don't believe it. They don't believe. They think that there's something in the interference of the electrical signal going through that's going to cause the internet connection not to work properly.
I agree. And the only thing I would say is, if you're someone that's going to turn on your washer and dryer, your dishwasher, your microwave, overplug your fridge, do every single major appliance in your home and turn them on at once, your internet connection is still going to pass through the walls. Are you going to get the speeds that we say on the outside of the box? Probably not. But let's face it, how many times throughout the day does someone do all those things with 5 minutes and then rely on an HD stream happening to their tablet? Not often. So,
do any of the appliances that you do use, do any of them affect it at all?
There will be, and we've done plenty of tests to show how much effect is there. And if you were in the middle of a stream or in the middle of a game, it's not enough to drop you below the point where you would lose a good connection. So it's a typical noise happening over your power lines. It's the same situation that you would get when you plug in from one point
and
on
is
your
it
network
just,
to the second point.
Is it just flow at that time, so all appliances are going to be the same, or are things like microwave worse?
It's all going to depend. Yeah, it's going to be the flow is the same, and it's going to depend on what the wattage is on each one of those appliances plugged in throughout the home.
Got it. So that's pretty exciting stuff. So what else? So am I missing anything? I've talked to you about your routers, and I've talked to you about your power line. Was there anything else I was supposed to talk to you about? I can't remember.
So I think one of the last things I would probably bring up is maybe just looking at a great pair for wireless AC technology. So we talked a little bit about that Cadillac router that we have, is the EA6500. Yep. The challenge for a lot of folks out there, and some of your listeners are going to say, I don't have a single peripheral that has 802.11 AC built into it.
No.
My laptop, my tablet, maybe they have the Samsung Galaxy S4, which we know has AC built in. But outside of that, there's not a lot of devices that actually have that technology. So there's two things you could look at. We have an AC adapter that's available to you. So if you wanted to take an old netbook or an old desktop that you've got sitting around that's just slow and cumbersome, you can get yourself a new wireless AC USB adapter, turn off the wireless that's built into those, and now use what we've given you. So you're going to be able to take advantage of the speeds. That would be one solution. And then the second device that we make is actually called a media bridge. So not unlike the wired power line version with the four ports, this is a wireless version of that has four ports on the back. So you've got your wireless environment. Everything's working great. You've got four things downstairs that you want to get onto the network, but you don't want to go power line. We actually make and the product number, it's a bit of a mouthful, so bear with me here.
Yeah,
but
I got it. WUM.
Yeah.
C710.
That's it. WUM C710, Wireless Universal Media Connector. And that's going to talk back to your wireless network and allow you to plug in four wired devices into it. So now everything downstairs in that home theater section or that gaming room, whatever it might be, are now going to be able to go online, and it's an AC-only media bridge. So it's going to take advantage of the AC speeds that you just got out of that new router and talk to this media bridge and get all those devices up to speed and online. So two different options for you depending on what type of device you need to upgrade.
So you guys have been very busy. And here's the thing. They look nice now. They don't look just like a box.
Absolutely. And we said that we knew there was going to need to be some aesthetic changes to the router. We've won some design awards when we first went to this new design, which was our E4200 about a year and a half ago. We've just kind of stayed down that line and continued on the extension of what they look like. And we know that people aren't just tucking them in the back of the closet or under a bed or desk anymore. They have them out in the forefront. Maybe it's beside their smart TV. Maybe it's plugged in beside their new all-in-one HP, you know, touchscreen machine or their Dell, whatever it might be, right? So we've come a long, long way, and we get that feedback a lot.
And where do people go for the Linksys product?
You can find it on Linksys.com. We'll redirect you to the Canadian site or any one of our national retail partners in Canada.
Perfect. Matthew, I have to thank you very much. It was a great, great overview.
Thanks, Steve.
You got me all fired up for Wi-Fi.
That's my goal. That's what I was hoping to do.
That's Michael Whelan from Linksys. Thanks so much.
Dottotech is brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better. Question for Dottotech? Visit our website at dottotech.com and click on Contact Us. Dottotech is brought to you by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. Now, back to Steve.
Mike Vardy, my productivity alter ego, joins me online right now. How you doing, Mike?
Doing well. How about you, Steve?
I'm doing pretty good. We're I'm getting ready to go on holiday. We're off for a couple of weeks. I thought I'd check in with you before we're gone. But doing it. We did a couple of demos this week. Actually, I was thinking of you because I was looking at these word processors that eliminate distraction. I was thinking they're very Vardy-esque.
And I do. I use one called Byword. That's the one I've been using for the longest time. Mm-hmm. I like the Markdown capabilities. I like to write in Markdown. So when I use that, it's not so much the minimalist look. It's just I kind of like the ability to write in that format. But there's so many of them out there, right? Like yep. I mean, which are the ones you talked about?
Writer.
The web-based one, right? Yeah.
I think it is. No, it's an app that installed.
You're right. It's a native app.
And Writeroom. Now, the thing is that, I mean, the whole thing around this issue is that distraction is such a big problem for so many people. And we've talked about distraction in the past, looking at apps like 3030, different ways to deal with distraction. And some people go completely off the deep end, and they install tools that block internet access and turn off Facebook and all that sort of stuff, which I think, if you're at the point where you have to do that, you've got a pretty big problem.
Yeah, there's a writer that Jonathan Franz, and he actually buys a laptop, and what he's done is he actually puts an Ethernet cable into the port and then cuts off the end of it and like kind of breaks it so he can't connect to the internet. I think it gets a little extreme. I think if you've got those issues, then there's something bigger to your distraction than the internet.
But these two apps that I played with this week are nice because they do completely take away the visual distraction. I think what it does is it just means that when you run into a little bit of a roadblock when you're writing, rather than the easier route, which is, I think I'll go see what's happening on Facebook, you can stay with it because you have to actually exit out of it in order to do that. So there's a reason to kind of stay with it. And then they create, and also in some other ways, it's almost like scent memory or, muscle memory. The one that I used, which was this Writeroom, it gave me a template, which was a black screen with the green computer text on it, like I was running my old Commodore 64 in terminal mode, right?
Absolutely.
And I liked that. I liked the feel of that. I writing with it, I kind of went, yeah, I like writing like this. It's kind of like the Doogie Howser thing, right?
Oh, yeah. And the folks that make that Hogbay software, they've got Plain Text, which is a very popular iPad and iPhone text editor that a lot of people use it. Patrick Roan, who writes at minimalmac.com, uses it. They've got Task Paper, and they've got they're also working on a task management app called Folding Text, which is absolutely like – I'm looking at it. It's all plain text oriented task management. So, I mean, they're very much into the minimal environment. And there's some other really, really great ones out there that just kind of clean the slate and allow you to kind of focus on the writing. But I also do you use Spaces at all? Like the Spaces functionality built into OS X?
Yes.
Yeah. See, I use that a lot. So if I'm writing, like I have Spaces that those apps will open specifically in one space, and then for when I edit my podcast, GarageBand and Max and some of the other tools, they open up in another space. Yeah. And I find that's helpful too. And I don't think Spaces are used often enough by those of us using Max.
The problem is, in the multitasking world, the problem is you have to leave the space in order to check your email or something, which so you shouldn't be doing that while you're working on task, but that's where the roadblock kind of hits. The other one of these minimalist programs that I tried, which was this OmWriter, which goes in a totally different direction. I think we should talk about it for a moment, if just for the entertainment value. but it's very yoga and granola. The free version comes with three templates, but as you launch it, it starts to play music. And maybe I should fire it up while we're talking. have you played with it?
I have. It's you know what the funny thing is the company, I think it's Dana that's worked on this, and they actually used to remember the Alpha Writer? Do you remember that thing where it was just like a little mini word processor? It was almost like the precursor to the netbooks. That's what they're here we go.
So this is the music which is playing in the background while you're writing on a screen, and my screen now currently is a rather sparse winter scene, which is got a light green tinge to it and should be quite restful. And as you write, you get little clicks from your keyboard, which I actually like. But the problem that I have with this app, Mike, is I don't think I could write an angry word while I'm in it.
Yeah, no political op-eds for you while you're
It was just like, it's just like, wow. It's like, and it's called Home Writer, O-M-M, Home Writer.
Yeah, and it's available for the PC and the Mac as well as the iPad.
Yeah, and it's, you know, I think if you are writing gentle prose, it's probably good. I'm not sure it's good for pounding your way through lots of stuff.
There's and there's another one that I've actually seen used a lot that's called Drafts.
Mm-hmm.
And it's I think it's drafts.in is the... is the URL or Drafts. Yeah, I think it's one where the cool thing about that app, it's very minimal writing environment, but it's also collaborative. So I know people who are writing their blog posts on there, and then they're saying, hey, do you mind taking a look at this? And you can they can edit it, and it's very minimal environment. I like it a lot, too. I use that when I'm working on something, and I want to have an editor take a look at it. So it's called Drafts, and I'll see if I can find where it is.
Now, does all the text come out of these things clean to go into WordPress or Drupal and stuff like that, not like coming out of Word?
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, okay. It's basically, and anybody who's writing for the web, don't write in Word at all because it formats it all weird. It's called Draft In is the name of the app. It's Draft, and it's draftin.com. And yeah, it comes out in plain text, or you could mark down as another popular format, but plain text is where it's at because, again, I mean, and I know you're not a big fan of paper, but the closest thing you can get to paper in a digital realm is to write in plain text because any... it can be read on a PC, on a Mac, and any basically any platform.
Good stuff. It's not that I'm not a big fan of paper. I just don't have your rather unhealthy attraction to it. Well, I mean, you'll spend more money on a notebook than I'll spend on a computer.
That's not entirely true.
It's fairly true.
It's close.
It's got an element of truth to it. And the fact that it even has an element of truth to it is what is concerning. So, Mike, you've been on the road. You've been in any really interesting productivity conferences the last little while?
Actually, the conferences I've been to, as I was at one in Portland called the World Domination Summit, which sounds far more sinister than it actually is. It's a creative, entrepreneurial, bloggers lifestyle kind of event. 3,000 people convene. You know, they all meet in Portland. Chris Guillebeau, who wrote The Art of Nonconformity and The $100 Startup, he's put this thing on. He rented the entire Oregon Zoo for us to have the opening party in, and then we had the closing party in the Portland Courthouse Pioneer Square, which is right in downtown Portland. It was phenomenal. There were some great people there, including some tech folks like David Sparks, who's Mac Sparky. He hosts the Mac Power Users podcast. Jared Gralnick, who you know, we've talked about a Wayfind before. Him and I roomed together while we were there. So, I mean, it's a nice convergence of technology and entrepreneurial spirit kind of stuff. So it was really cool to be there. A lot of great talks. And then I was at an event in Hamilton called Vox PopCon, which is more of a storyteller conference, but I got to actually talk about how I got into productivity and how I wrote the book The Front Nine, and then, you know, what's happened with the new ebook I have, the Productivityist workbook, and how that's worked out for me. So it's been a 2 weeks of travel on the road, but it's been a great 2 weeks.
Now tell me about the book. How's it going?
The Productivityist workbook's been great. It was a PDF when I put it out, and it was basically like kind of a beginner's guide to productivity, kind of a 101. It explores four different elements of it. And then this past week, I released it on Amazon, and again, it's seen a bit of a resurgence in terms of sales. It's been out since May, and I've sold about 1,000 copies of it at this point, which is I'm pretty happy with that. So, for those who are just trying to get into it and learn about some of the apps that you can use to not only manage your time and your tasks, but also, say, your ideas and email – it's a great starting point.
Yeah, so we'll put a link to that on our site. So the productivity is just like $5 for the download, right?
Yeah, $5. And if you buy it from my site, you get all the EPUB, you get the Mobi file, which is good for Kindle, and you get the PDF. If you buy it from Amazon, you just get the Mobi file. So you might as well just go to my site to buy it.
Yeah, we'll put links here so we won't bother putting it to Amazon. Although I can make money if I put it to Amazon because I could attach it to some affiliate program, I'm sure. But I'll just give it to you anyways, Mike. I'm just that kind of guy. And now you're also testing out a new to-do list manager because your to-do list is full of test to-do list managers.
Yeah, I have these templates that I use and I move them back and forth. So Flow, which has been out for a while by MetaLab, they've got a beta version of a new iteration of Flow that I've been testing. And they can't talk too much about it other than to say I'm really liking what I see. It's a collaborative task manager, which we're seeing a lot more of these days. So I've been putting that through the paces. There's another one called Kona, K-O-N-A, that I've been looking at. So there's a few out there. I mean, we've talked about this before. Mm-hmm. There are so many. And web-based is important for a lot of people these days, as well as mobile. And we're seeing that really come to the forefront more and more.
And I'm increasingly thinking that people should just pick a good one and then stay with it, not even look at what anybody else is doing.
Yeah, you got to really, I mean, whenever you're picking something like this, stick with it for at least 30 days and don't get distracted by the shiny objects of newness that come out around these things. I mean, this is kind of my job. This is my thing, so that's why I do it. Like I said, I have template projects that I throw into these things so that I'm able to do that aspect of my job effectively and efficiently. But if you're jumping from app to app, you're not going to get anything done. And frankly, I don't need any more people working in this field.
Fair. Well, you won't be working too much because it's hard to make money in the field, right, Mike?
This is very true. As much as there's so many apps out there, there's not much money to be made out there. And I mean, I think the key is to find something that works for you, stick with it, and build a workflow. That's the thing I think that a lot of people need to focus on is building a workflow that works for them, that marries, you know, the elements of email, which is the communication, as well as social media and also task management all into one. Once you can start doing that, then you're going to really see the benefits of how technology can make you more efficient and effective.
Indeed. And what's your current blog post there up on the Productivityist, Mike?
Actually, I just put up one today on mindful meditation. There was a TED Talk I watched, and it was just about taking 10 minutes and how you can make meditation more accessible. So not about the whole, like we were talking about earlier, the om and all that stuff, but just more about being present and stuff. So I'm very big on mindful and thoughtful
productivity. Well, I think that the best way for most of us to do that is just not to take the iPhone into the bathroom with us.
That, you know what? That doesn't even take 10 minutes, so there you go.
Well, it could, though.
It could.
And it has, often. So there we have it. Are you going to enjoy the rest of summer there, Mike? You're getting away from Victoria? You're going to be hanging around Victoria all summer?
No, we are actually going to be we're heading up to Qualicum middle of this week, and then nice. The last week in August, what we're going to do is the whole family and I, we're going to go and we're going to camp Vancouver Island. So we're going to go all the way up and all the way over. We're going to try to hit as many small spots as we can, probably get over to Tofino, and just you know, stay on the island this summer because we haven't really given it a chance as a family to explore it.
Just have some gravel because of the little kids in the back seat and that drive to Tofino. That's a recipe for pukicness.
Yeah, I would agree. Yeah. We're going to be loaded up on that. That's in my list for sure.
Put it on the list. Mike Vardy, we will have links to his site. You can certainly download his ebook. It is a jolly good read. Thanks so much, Mike.
Thanks a lot, Steve.
Dottotech is brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better.
Do you
Except
have a comment
or question for Dottotech? Visit our website at dottotech.com and click on Contact Us. Dottotech is brought to you by London Drugs. Nobody does it better. Except maybe you. Now, back to Steve.
Julian Saunders joins me now from Saskatchewan. How are you doing, Julian?
I'm doing awesome. How are you doing, Steve?
I'm doing pretty good. Just getting ready. Getting close to my holiday time, so I'm quite looking forward to getting away for a couple of weeks.
Nice.
Yes, going to be relaxing, hanging out by the lake. Do you hang out by a lake there in Saskatchewan, Julian?
For a little bit, yeah, in the south. Lots of time visiting with family, actually.
Oh, good. That's good. Well, how old are your kids?
They're 1 and 4.
Oh, wow. So you're just starting to get into the whole driving around for the summer and entertaining your kids in the back of the car type thing.
Oh, you got it. Yeah, they're really big readers, though, so you give them a book.
The one-year-old is a big reader?
Well, he listens a lot, so the 4-year-old makes up a story while she's flipping through the book, and the 1-year-old pays attention. It's actually kind of endearing.
Oh, wow. You should videotape that.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Good stuff. So what do you got for us today?
Well, I wanted to talk a little bit about the fit Fitbit.
Fitbit, one of those fitness, so one of those bands that you wear that monitors your activity.
You got it. Yeah, there's a few different types, and the band is basically, you can think of it as a little tracker that you wear, and it records stuff like how many steps you take, how many calories you consume, how many hours you sleep, even on the higher-end models, and yeah. Then it's a really nice way to track your progress for your fitness goals.
Now, the other big player in this market, I guess, is the Nike Fuel Band, right?
Right, yeah.
And it's become quite a style accessory. The coolest people on the planet walk around with Fuel Bands on their wrist. You can tell you're cool because it acts as a watch as well as an activity tracker. So yep. Now Fitbit before, they didn't have the band. I'm on their website right now. I notice now they've got the band. So they've joined the cool revolution.
Yeah, it's called the Fitbit Flex, and it does a couple of things a little differently than the Fuel does. One of the big reasons that they've separated themselves is to track your sleep. That one's an important step in everybody's health and wellness routine.
We've been talking about that so much lately, yeah.
Yeah, and it records the quality of your sleep, so it actually helps record how much you move and other things. It uses your pulse and a couple of other ways of tracking you. It's been very carefully researched first to make sure it's fairly usable information. And it might not be a replacement for a sleep clinic where they've got probes on your brain and everything, but for somebody looking just to see how healthy they're sleeping, how many calories they're burning, steps taken, it's really nice to set your goals and to kind of see where you're at.
Now, does the Flex work as a watch as well, so it has some practical looking at it capabilities?
It doesn't have a full display on it. It's kind of a minimalist design, but okay. The Fitbit One and the Fitbit Zip, they both have a display, so they have a readout right on them telling you how much you burned.
Yes.
The Flex is more designed to talk to your smartphone. It works from Android and iPhone.
Yeah.
So from there, you can see everything live as it happens and even share it on social media if you want to.
I'm on their website right now, and I see all these badges flowing across of people that are doing different things, like they're measuring how many floors people are climbing. And they're not really giving me the information about they're not giving me the social information about the people, but just kind of what their achievements are. But
right.
I guess that people are tying this into their Facebook page and kind of just, you know, kind of sharing with their community their achievements.
That's right, yeah. And it's more for just kind of setting yourself a goal and bragging when you hit it, or, you know, maybe you want advice from people on how to hit it. You can post questions and stuff on your private Facebook as a big one.
Getting positive reinforcement on all this stuff is pretty cool. Now, the Fitbit also works with other devices besides your phone, though.
Right, it definitely, yeah. It syncs with your account with Fitbit's server. So basically, it just uploads all of your data, and then you can easily see everything on your computer.
Mm-hmm.
Uses Bluetooth for the most part to sync,
mm-hmm.
and it's nice because when it tracks something like your steps, it can even do email notifications when you set a goal of, you know, when I hit 10,000 steps.
Mm-hmm.
So even if you're not on the on one of the supported devices, it still has alarms and things that it can set up and send you. So you still get that feedback.
And you also it also works with, there's a variety of other peripherals that it'll work with, like a scales, like,
right, yeah. There's a Fitbit scale that will record your weights at different times,
yeah.
And that you can keep totally private, of course, if you want to.
Yeah.
But it
might be a good idea.
Yeah, it makes a body mass index too very easy to understand. The way that their software is laid out, it kind of gives you down to earth explanation, because sometimes weight isn't the full picture. So it's a good idea to talk to a pharmacist to get a consultation about your fitness goals.
Uh-huh.
We have lots of different programs available for everybody at our pharmacy, and
yes.
The Fitbit is just a great way to kind of tie in that expert advice and then know how you're keeping on track. And then if you kind of sway a little bit, maybe you aren't staying on goal, then you can use the Fitbit to get reinforcement from your friends, or maybe you're not getting the results you expect. You've got a lot of information when you go back and see your professional for advice. It gives them a clear picture.
Now, what's the pricing on it?
There's three different models, and the Fitbit Flex is the bracelet style, and it's $100.
And what is that? How does that compare to the Fuel Band? I'm just looking up the Fuel Band here.
I think it's a little less. The Fuel Band has a few different models, but it's around $50 less. I think the average for the Fuel Band is around $150 to $200 on the model, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
We don't sell that one. It's just for me seeing it in other stores.
Yeah.
The Fitbit one is a little pebble with a clip on it, and it's the one with a nice big display, tells you the time and everything. It's also $100.
So you got to carry it around like a fob or clip it on or something like that, right?
Right, yeah. And it's very small, very lightweight. The battery lasts for a very long time. And it's the those two, the Fitbit Flex bracelet and the Fitbit One Pebble, they both track your sleep.
Yes.
So they have the full feature set. It does steps, distance, calorie, how long you're active.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the starter for people just looking for basic tracking. There's the Fitbit Zip.
Mm-hmm.
And this is it's a little bit bigger of a Pebble, has a smaller screen, but it's more affordable at $60. So it's a do you want to do it or not question. You can get into it with the Fitbit Zip.
Okay, Fitbit Zip.
Yeah.
There we go. And they're all available at LD, and I'm sure we'll see some other peripherals coming out down the line other than just the scales.
Oh, absolutely, yep.
And once you've bought it, the app's free and the usage is free. You're not going to be paying a membership fee using their services, their social services?
That's correct.
Good stuff. That looks pretty good. I kind of like it. And you can get different colored band covers or different replacement bands so you can stylize if it's on your wrist. And it looks cool. I'm not sure it looks quite as cool as the Nike Fuel Band, but it's maybe more for the average person as opposed to the uber cool people with a Fuel Band.
Exactly. Yeah. Very affordable. So you're not spending a lot of money to see if it works for you.
Thanks so much, Julian Saunders from London Drugs. Have a great summer, sir.
Thanks. You too, Steve.
Art, I think that's it. I'm ready for holiday.
And I'm ready to let you free on a holiday.
Are you going anywhere this summer?
I just came back from Kelowna. I don't need to go anywhere.
Okay. Now, we have a contest that we're going to be giving away. When we're coming back, we're doing two Dotto Tech Classics. We're going to call them Classics.
Okay.
The Classic repeats over the next 2 weeks. And then, the 21st of August, we will be doing an App Wednesday.
Oh.
Get everybody in for App Wednesday. And then we're giving away our prize because we're giving away a great Fujitsu ScanSnap S1100, a really nice little scanner.
Sounds very
two sided scanner.
Tech.
It's a cool scanner. So drop by the website and you can enter to win that. Also, don't forget the Facebook site is now rocking. Have you been to the Facebook site
all
recently?
The time? I love it.
It's just smoking along. People are just making friends there, and I'm pretty sure that people are finding life partners at our Facebook site now.
You think that technologies are bringing two people together?
They're finding
as
life partnerships with their technology. Which is the one tech? Which is the one thing that does stay?
I have reason to believe that your Facebook page is a bunch of single men who are in their basements who love your show.
You are wrong,
and there might be one woman in there who is looking for
you
love.
It's probably not really the best place to be.
If there are single women listening right now, go to the Dotto Tech page because that's where you'll find a man.
Okay, and just one last question, Art. Did you buy your notebook yet? The new notebook that you were lusting for last week?
Not yet. A week? You think I could drop that kind of money in a week?
Ah, but you're still looking at it, aren't you? You're spending a lot of time daydreaming about it, aren't you?
All week, going to the Apple refurb store. I'm going looking at waiting for Best Buy deals.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so you're
it's going to happen.
Yeah. And you're on the Facebook page a lot.
Yes.
Art, I'm going to head off on holiday. I will see you in the middle of August. And to all our listeners, enjoy your summer. Drive carefully and safely, and we will see you back mid-August.
Dotto Tech is brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you.